Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 28th, 2013. I hope your Memorial Day was spent with friends and family members, certainly remembering the heroic people that have served this nation, sacrificing even their very lives on our behalf of the freedoms and the liberties we so enjoy. So I trust and pray that you met up with a veteran maybe yesterday at a parade or an area event and honored those in our armed forces, or for that matter in the days ahead. You see a veteran, you see someone in uniform, give them an encouraging word. And for the widows and widowers that have lost loved ones, or for that matter any family member that has lost someone serving our country, please continue to honor them, encourage them, and pray for them. Well, I have no doubt if you were tuned in for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, you're back to hear part two today of Dave Zanotti's interview with the author of Unbroken, Laura Hillingbrand. What a powerful book and a great interview that I just heard this past Saturday and broke into two parts yesterday and today. So if you missed yesterday's broadcast, stop by greatnewsradio.org and under our archive programs link, you'll see the title Unbroken. I trust you'll be blessed by investing 20 minutes listening to that broadcast. I'm going to re-air a portion of yesterday's broadcast to set things in context as Laura talks about writing this book Unbroken and spending 7 years over the phone and talking to Louis Zamperini about his life story, his service in World War II, being a POW, 47 days floating on a raft in the ocean, the torture and suffering he went through. And yet there is a redemptive story at the end. So stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes on this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And by the way, the public square can be heard on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on WGNJ 89.3 FM.
They were seriously messed up.
Yeah.
They had seen. Now, how was it talking to Louis? I mean, was he real open to talk about how things happened for him?
Well, this was really the main reason why I wanted to write the book about it. From that very first conversation I had with him, he told me this whole story of all of this abuse he had taken, and he told it with complete equanimity. He wasn't upset. There wasn't a lot of emotion in his voice. He wasn't numb. He was just speaking normally. And I said, I'm hearing what you're telling me about how bad this was, but I don't understand. How can you not hate these people? How can you tell me these things in such a calm way? And he said, that's easy. I forgave them. And that was what made me want to write the book. I wanted to know how a man survives the unsurvivable. And one of the things I explored, I didn't want to end the book with just the war ending and them being set free, because for veterans, wars don't just end that way. For men who really have been through trauma, and for women now, there's a lot they carry out of it, and Louis is a classic example. He came home with severe post-traumatic stress disorder, as did many, many prisoners of war.
He came home deeply hurt. Now, he was a hero, and life was looking pretty good for him. He discovered a beautiful young woman whom he courted and was married, and gosh, everything looks like, you know, this is the end of a beautiful story, a beautiful movie, but this guy is haunted in the night.
Yeah. He started having nightmares actually in prison camp, and they were consistently about strangling the bird. And it was something he kind of fantasized about while the bird was beating him. His hands would clench into fists, and this would make the bird angrier and just make everything go on longer. But Louis couldn't help it. He was just that defiant. And so he was having these nightmares during the war, and then he came home, and the nightmares got worse and worse, and He kept dreaming about a particular incident in which the bird whipped him in the head with a belt buckle. And one night, he dreamt that he was strangling the bird, and he woke up and realized that he was straddling his pregnant wife with his hands around her neck, strangling her. And fortunately, he woke up in time and didn't hurt her, but it really, really shook him. It had gotten that bad.
Now, this was accompanied by a lot of self-medication at this stage in the game for him, right?
He became an alcoholic, as did many, many prisoners of war, former prisoners of war from the Pacific War. About a quarter of them became alcoholics. Lots and lots of them drank themselves to death. I think Louis was on that path to drinking himself to death. He got to the point where he was passing out every night. He was drinking so hard to get away from flashbacks and nightmares and just his general anxiety and rage. He needed something, and he couldn't find anything to make himself feel okay, so that's why he was drinking.
And this is where I'm thinking to myself, oh, where can this story go? He survives the sea. He survives a prison camp. But now he's back, and he is in a living hell.
Yeah, the worst struggle of all for him, as for many, many prisoners of war, came after it was all over. The emotional consequences were simply terrible. And I interviewed so many of these men who had had terrible, terrible time for the rest of their lives. You know, I'm talking to them 60 years later, and they're still having nightmares. They're still hoarding food. They're digging in trash cans. One man could never stay in a hotel again for his entire life because he would have these nightmares and start screaming and wake up everyone in the hotel. It was a very common consequence of being a prisoner of the Japanese.
A pretty incredible story and testimony, huh? Well, it gets real personal with me. As many of you may know, my father was a POW under the Japanese in Hong Kong and suffered for almost 4 years the brutality, the starvation, the torture. He never really talked about his whole ordeal and all the suffering. And it was only until a few years ago when I met some of his comrades at an event in Canada that they revealed some of the stories and the suffering that my father and they all went through. I think 2/3 of the camp died of starvation, other diseases, and the Japanese literally tried to work some of these men to death. So the story runs very close to home, and yet thank you God for Laura Hillingbrand for capturing and recording for us to remember not only Louis Zamperini's story, but to honor the veterans that we know and those that lost their lives in the many battles over these centuries. We now return to Dave Zanotti's interview of Laura Hillingbrand, author of Unbroken.
Laura, there was another surprise in this book. I didn't see it coming. But Louis's life intersected another young man's life out in California.
Yes.
A guy who was putting up a great big circus tent.
Yes. I don't know if I want to give away for people who are reading it what happened to Louis. He did find resolution through this man that he met in California in a really amazing and beautiful way. But I think maybe I don't want to give away what it was that happened.
What a pleasant surprise. I was stunned to discover it. Can we give just a name and then let them find out what actually happened?
I think if we give a name, we're going to give away what happened.
All right. Then I'll honor the author and tell you that there is I was flabbergasted. I stopped. I said to my wife, you are not going to believe this.
Yeah. It was an incredible experience. It's an experience. I spent probably more time on that part of the book than any other trying to find a way to express what it was that Louis had experienced when he met this person. But it did finally bring him true and lasting peace.
Laura, how has writing this story changed you?
Oh, wow. It has been such a wonderful experience. And it was 7 years of writing it, and I've actually still been working on it because now I'm doing a children's version of this, or a young reader version of it. So it's been 9 years now. But it first of all, taught me so much about the Pacific War specifically. But it also was a journey for me exploring forgiveness, exploring what it is to lose one's dignity, exploring bitterness that people experience over traumas they've experienced and being victimized. It was definitely a journey through the human soul for me to go through this man's experience and the experiences of the other prisoners of war that I interviewed and wrote about. It was an opportunity to follow this one man and his experiences and through him see the whole war and to see the landscape after war for veterans and for former prisoners of war. So it was such an enlightening experience. It made me think a lot about my own life and my own struggles and come to some resolutions about those. So it was just a beautiful journey for me.
Now, when you look back, how is America different today than it was then?
Wow. Well, in so many ways. Something I think about a lot, because I followed Louis. Louis was born in 1917, and I followed him from the beginning of his life and spoke to a lot of his contemporaries and his siblings and things. And these are people who grew up in the Great Depression. And that was a time that people have really lost an understanding of how difficult that time really was. It was a time when one out of every four Americans was out of work. It was a desperate time. But what was interesting to me to see is that decade shaped the young men who became the men who fought and won World War II. And it made them resolute. It made them resourceful. It gave them faith in themselves and their ability to get out of hardship. It toughened them up. And I do wonder if without the Great Depression and that shaping influence, if we would have crafted the young men who could have gone out and won as hard a war as that was. And that is something different from today. People grow up in very different circumstances today, and there's, of course, plenty of hardship, and we're in a really difficult economy right now, but it was a whole different deal in the Depression. And that was something I came away respecting a lot of what made that greatest generation, I think, was the Depression. It forged them for war.
That's an amazing insight. We've interviewed Amity Slays, who wrote the book The Forgotten Man, and a study of the Depression. We've really looked into that period of time, and you just shared with us an insight that I've never heard presented before in all the research that we've done, how those very difficult times, and again, my dad, who's passed away a few years ago, was in Louis's generation. My dad was in the Army Air Corps, as was Dr. Glover, who appears regularly on our broadcast. He's in his 80s, Dr. Sterling Glover, who's such a dear friend and a member of our trustees, and we talk about the Army Air Corps. People think there's always been an Air Force. Well, no, before there was an Air Force, there was a thing called the Army Air Corps. And my dad went through the Depression. And as you're talking about that, I think about his generation, and I think you're right. I think the lessons that were forged when they had one pair of pants and one pair of shoes and they were living off of whatever they could scrounge together, it certainly changed their perspective about life.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no sense of entitlement among people who grew up in the Depression. They had to fight for everything, and Louis was that way. Louis was a poor kid. I mean, not exceptionally poor, but he was poor enough that breakfast for him was stale bread and milk, and his father's paycheck didn't make it through the week, and so he and his brother would go out and shoot rabbits in the fields for them to eat, and they definitely had to deal with hardship and the instability of that time, and I think it did forge them into men of real toughness and the ability to get through the extraordinary hardships that soldiers faced in that war.
Well, I'm sure you hear this question every day, if not multiple times a day. Is the book going to become a movie?
I believe it will, yes. Universal Studios is now developing it into a movie. And they're sort of midway through that process of getting a screenplay written, getting a director lined up, and things like that. But I know they're very enthusiastic about it, and I am too. I'm really interested in seeing what they're going to do.
I will tell you that everyone should certainly get the book. I will tell you that everyone should certainly get the movie, buy the book. When the movie comes out, go see it. When the movie's on a DVD, buy it. It is an amazing story, and it is a true story, which just over and over again astounds me. Let me just turn one more subject with you here. Tell me about the work that you do with Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise and I co-founded a charity that at that time we called Operation Iraqi Children. And we created it to get school supplies to children in Iraq because the soldiers over there were discovering that under Saddam Hussein, the schools were terribly neglected. I mean, they were just basically cinder block, tumble down places, and there were no pencils or pens or notebooks or anything or books for the kids. I mean, there's just they didn't have any school supplies, and it was quite shocking. And Gary and I got together and decided to create a grassroots organization in which people could give either money or build school supply kits themselves and send them to us. And we would get them to American troops who would then distribute them among Iraqis. And this served two purposes. One was to get the school supplies to the kids and give them a future. And the other was to foster good relations between the troops and the civilians. And it was a wonderful success, and we expanded to Afghanistan and changed our name to Operation International Children. And now we are in Afghanistan and a few other countries like Djibouti and the Philippines. And we work the same way. We get school supply kits and we send them off to troops to distribute to kids. And it's been such a wonderful success, and we have helped hundreds of thousands of kids, and it's really been a joy to do.
If people want to learn more, how can they find out about Operation International Children?
We have a website, operationinternationalchildren.org, and all the information is out there, whether you want to donate money so we buy the school supply kits and assemble them, or if you want to start a school supply kit drive in your community. Many, many people have done that with Boy Scouts or churches or things like that. All the information's out there, and it's such a wonderful thing. We have photographs out there of these grateful kids, and they're barefoot, and they're living in huts, but they have a backpack with all their school supplies in it, and they're hugging the American troops, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
Laura, you are a delightful interview, a wonderful author, and you have given America a great, great gift in giving yourself and your giftedness to these stories. You've made us a better country. This is a better place because of what you've done. And you've called us to remember things that we have forgotten that we should never, ever forget again. So we owe you a tremendous debt of gratitude for what you've done.
Thank you. Well, I owe Louis Zamperini. I mean, he all credit goes to him. He's the one who lived this story, and he gave so much of himself to convey it to me so I could get it out there. So all credit to Louis Zamperini.
Well, at the time of this interview, Louis is still out there kicking, isn't he?
Louis is in great shape. He's 95 years old, 95 and a half, and he is still making public appearances, and he is he's in marvelous shape. He's just doing great.
Well, we do a thing, an event every year called Christmas in America, and I'm half tempted to invite Louis to come just to sit on the stage so he can sing White Christmas with us.
That would be wonderful. It's true. You'll never think of that song the same way again.
Laura, thank you so much for your time. I hope you'll stay in touch with us, and as this story continues to unfold, we'd like to talk with you again and keep up with you, because I really think what you've done, we all agree, is something that is going to be used to change America for the better. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Well, that wraps up Dave Zanotti's interview with Laura Hillenbrand, author of Unbroken. But I appreciate the closing comments by Wayne Shepherd and Dave Zanotti on some of their life lessons learned through reading this book and through their conversation with Laura. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, Part 2 on an interview that I heard referenced this past Saturday on the public square. I went to their website, aproundtable.org, lifted out this interview and broke it into yesterday and today's program, which is archived at greatnewsradio.org. But I so appreciated Wayne and Dave's closing thoughts. So here's the remainder of today's broadcast right here on Great News Radio.
Now, I know you're going to want to go buy this book, aren't you? The book is called Unbroken. The story of Louis Zamperini is written by Dave Zanotti's guest today here in the public square, Laura Hillenbrand. We've got a few minutes before we wrap up today, Dave. I want to get your reaction to the conversation you had with this delightful woman. I really enjoyed listening to Laura.
Well, first off, I'm so thankful that Laura was willing to interview with us. As you know, she has experienced chronic fatigue syndrome, and in the most acute stages since she was in college.
Yeah, well, she said she hasn't flown since, what, 1990?
Yeah, she barely is able to get out. You would never know that to listen to her, and certainly never know that from her writing. She is a courageous young woman who continues to live out her gifting and her faith and bless the world from a position of a very difficult position in working through a disability. And she, in my opinion, is a hero. She has given a great, I mean, there should be a Congressional Medal to her for what she's done. in the books that she's written and what she has done to help rekindle the American spirit. I can't speak highly enough of this woman's, her gifting, her courage, her strength. So she's a wonderful person. I'm so grateful she gave us this interview.
She's writing about a hero, but she's a hero herself, a heroine, isn't she?
And the fact that she did not meet Louis until after 7 years of work on this book. I mean,
I love that backstory.
Oh my goodness, this is sort of the stuff of legend. So it's a wonderful story. It's true and true. It's through and through. You can shake it. You can do anything you want to with it. It's going to come back out real. And then, of course, the entire question of how do we deal with adversity? Why horrible things happen to good people? And what is God doing in our lives, even through adversity? And how God uses all of these experiences that Louis Zamperini has to bring him to a place that you just have to read more about to understand, and where he is today, this incredible source of inspiration and joy, that sort of one of the last brilliant flaming embers of his generation. I'm telling you, Wayne, it rekindles my spirit, and it makes me feel like I'm such a slacker.
Yeah, it's very humbling. I've never met Louis. I would love to meet Louis Zamperini someday, but I have watched him on YouTube and on television. I think he was on The Tonight Show with Leno at one point, and I know he's been in... I'm not going to tell more, because you don't give away the end of the book, and I'm not going to give away the end of the book here. I want our listeners to go get this book and read it. But there is a spiritual ending to this story, isn't there?
Well, there really is a spiritual ending, and it's an intersection of two people who are in a desperate point of need from very different perspectives, who collide together in Los Angeles, California. And Laura will be mad at me if I say anything more than that.
Okay,
so
we'll leave it.
Honor
we'll
her wishes.
We'll drop it right there.
In a few weeks, maybe we'll come back and tell the rest of the story after everybody's read the book.
All right. Well, let me ask you more about, we are a public policy organization that tries to pass on biblical values in terms of people's thinking. What attracted you to this story from the angle of the work of the public policy that we do?
Jesus said to us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Wayne, it's real clear from the teachings of Jesus that people see the gospel before they hear it. And this story of Louis Zamperini is a story of the reality of God penetrating the human spirit and soul. And it's so powerful. There are moral lessons from reviewing our history. First off, it is critically important we don't forget the era and the conflict through which Louis Zamperini lived, and which Laura so eloquently and passionately writes about. We can't forget our history. This is critically important. Secondly, it's really important for us to understand that there was a day and time when America was willing to stand up for what was right and what was true, and stand against dictators and against socialism and against tyranny and against government dictates in the world, where people were taking away other people's rights and freedom. This is a part of who we are as a people, because of what we believe, the self-evident truths that make us what we are. First Christians and then Americans, following truth. That's what we're about. And this is a brilliant reminder of that. So I think these are really important things. And then finally, I think Laura hits the ball absolutely out of the park when she talks about the difference of the mindset between the generation that fought World War II and the generation in which we now live.
What a powerful point she made.
And so I think it's a great place to look in the mirror through the life of other people and say, how are we doing here? What have we forgotten? What have we lost? And is this why we're in the big mess we're in today?
And you touched on it in the interview today, Dave, but how quickly we forget these stories. We need to be reminded of these stories.
We really do. The Lord constantly reminds us in the Scripture to be careful about forgetting, because that's what we do. So we need to be constantly reminded about the fact we are not a people that were born entitled. We were a people that were born created equal to do something with the gifts God has given us. Yeah. And I just think that story comes out over and over and over again in Louis Zamperini's story. And again, Wayne, I'm just delighted to be in the position that we can make this interview available to folks. I hope everyone will go out and get the book, and that'll be a huge success. And maybe we'll get a chance to do some work when the movie comes out together.
Wouldn't that be great?
What great hosts. You're hearing from Wayne Shepherd and Dave Zanotti. They're part of The Public Square, which is heard on WGNJ 89.3 FM on Saturdays at 11 a.m., that's Central Time, on the program called The Public Square. This interview with Laura Hillenbrand was back in July of last year, but in light of Memorial Day and wanting to honor our veterans and those that gave their very lives for the freedoms and liberties that we so enjoy, I felt that this interview and the conversations were God-honoring and helpful for us to not forget the price that's been paid. So I close out with a verse from John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Listening friends, so many in our armed forces have laid down their lives for our very liberty and the life that we enjoy. And as great and as wonderful as that is, Almighty God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, to lay down his life for us. Jesus Christ willingly gave his all so that we could have a relationship with Almighty God. What a Savior we serve. God loves you, friend. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.